Okay, so good morning, everybody. If you want to find your seat, we'll make a start. For those who don't know me, my name's Helen Godfrey, and I'm going to be leading the first part of the service. And later, Martin is going to come and speak to us. The children and young people are going to go out to their activities kind of partway through the service. And at the end of the service, we've got tea and coffee being served. So it'd be great if you stay and join us for tea and coffee, especially if you're new or visiting the church this morning. Earlier in the week, I got a little bit of writer's block about what to do in this service today. And so Martin very helpfully pointed me to a section in 1 Timothy 6. And Martin's speaking from 1 Timothy 6 later in the service. There's a little section in there that's really inspirational to support us in our worship. So if you've got your Bibles or your Bible app handy, do turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. And it says this: God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honour and might forever. Amen. And it gives a great description of the God that we serve and the God that we follow. Describes him as being the ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And that speaks to me of somebody who is in control, who has authority. And it goes on to describe him as being immortal and living in unapproachable light, and no one has ever seen or can see him. And that reminds me that God is different to us. He's not like a human being. So he's greater, he's more powerful, he's more able to do what he wants to do. And we don't have to sort of think of him in human terms. And it goes on to say, to him be the honour and might forever. And that's really powerful words that remind us that in the days we live in, God is the Lord, God is the King, God is in control, and God is able. I think sometimes it's easy to see what's happening in the world and get overwhelmed by it, and we need to remind ourselves that whatever is going on, God is in control, God is still able, God is still worthy. It reminds me of the section in Psalm 46 where it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And it goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So this morning, as we meet together to celebrate our faith, to celebrate our God who loves us, to celebrate what we believe, this is our chance to take that time to be still and remember who he is. Remember he's over it all. Remember that he's Lord. And I think sometimes it calls for us to have a little bit of defiance in our worship and our joy and think, despite everything, I'm going to praise you and trust you, God, because I believe in you and I believe what you've said and I believe you are in control. So we're going to sing some songs of worship to start off with. And I really encourage you in those songs to remember who God is, who we're praising, and let that build your confidence, build your hope, and build your trust in him. Stand if you're able.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Lord God, we say hallelujah because you reign and you reign forever and you reign for all our days. You are always our strength. You are always our shield. You are always our rock. Thank you, God, that we can trust in you. Thank you, God, that you are so faithful, you are so loving, and you are so good. Lord, we bless you this morning. We praise you. We lift you high because you are worthy. Amen. Please feel free to take your seats. Okay. Right. Okay, so now we're on the part of the service, which is the notices, which I know you all love and look forward to. So the first notice today is Ellen. Please. Oh, forget the mic.
Good morning. Now, I've got a question for you. Without looking, what is the vision statement of the church? Yes, to know Jesus and to make him known. So we want to make Jesus known. And there's various ways that we do that as a church. And one of the things that we do, or some of the things that we do, is invite people into this building for various things. We might invite them to a Sunday morning service. We might invite them to some of our interest groups, other activities, youth things that happen. But before people come to this church, mostly they do something. And I'm wondering if you did this before you came to this church. I know I did. Did you look on the website? Did you look online to find out what you could find out about the church before you came? Who's in that boat? Who looked online before they came here? Yeah, quite a few. Quite a few people did. And hopefully you know that the church has a website, and we're trying to improve that website a bit more. And one of the things we really want to do is get some pictures that are a bit more real, like really us. So I know it's not everybody's favourite thing, okay? And I've sort of pulled the short straw in giving this notice, but please would you consider whether you feel able to say yes to giving photo permission for us to take pictures of you. Over the next few weeks, we're going to try and take that opportunity to take some photos of people in the church building doing normal things. So in the under the seats, you'll find this piece of paper, and it just asks for your details. And also, it's a yes, I give permission for Biggleswade Baptist Church to use photos of me in like website, social media kind of situations. Now, I know that for some of you, there might be reasons why that isn't okay, and that's okay. But please don't be like, oh no, they don't want a photo of me. I'm not very photogenic. That isn't true. We want normal people, because people looking on the website want to see that we're just normal people and that we're not all ever so glamorous. That's not what they're looking for. So real people. So if you feel able to, please, please, could you consider saying yes, signing that bit of paper and giving it to me or somebody else who's passed it on to me, and then you'll see us with some cameras over the next little while. Obviously, if that's not for you, that's fine, and we will, you know, do our best to get that right. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Ellen. Okay, so the next notice is about next Sunday. Is it harvest? Next Sunday is harvest. I should have prepared this earlier. Am I meant to be bringing stuff for the food bank?
Am I turned on? Yeah, thank you. Apparently in the notice sheet, it's down as a private party.
Oh, I'm coming on to that. I mean, the harvest.
It is. It's our private party. Please do bring tin goods and stuff for the food bank as a harvest offering next Sunday morning. But also, thanks to Irene, we're having an international bring and share lunch afterwards. So I guess what that means is bring something from your native culture. So curry if you're English. and bring it through, and we'll share it all out afterwards to have a bit of fellowship time as well.
So Irene did ask to stress that please come. Please come even if you've forgotten to bring something on the day. But please do bring something. And if you have something national to your country, bring that. I think Gareth's thinking of bringing something very fattening from Scotland, which I'm thinking is not a good idea, but there
deep
you go.
Deep fried Mars bar.
No, it's not deep fried Mars bar. You hold the excitement. But We can't all bring scones and cress sandwiches if we're English, can we? So don't feel it's got to be like particularly English or British food if you are, that's your background. Just bring something that you like to share. Let's all meet together afterwards and have a great time of fellowship. That's the main idea, is to get to know each other better and have fellowship rather than look at my amazing cooking. So please do that. If you are able to come, plan to come. It will really help Irene if you see her afterwards. Irene's doing the reading later, so you'll all know who she is at that point. And if you want her phone number, it's on this paper here, if you want to message her in the week when you've thought about it a bit more. So come and grab that at the end. Okay, that's that one. It's a lot of notices today, sorry. But the next one's about the Breakfast Club shop. So we run a breakfast club in this church one Saturday a month for children who are in school years 3 to 6, so age 7 to 11. And during the morning, the children kind of collect merit points. And at the end of the morning, they can spend their merit points in a shop for sweets and bits of tat, really. But they can also save up their points so that in a few months of coming, they can get something really amazing in the shop. We are running out of really amazing things in our shop. So we're asking you, have a look in your cupboards at home. Have you got any good quality or brand new children's games, children's books, things that will entertain children? Or if you're out about shopping and you see something you think you can afford and it's amazing, please, 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 can you think, what can we give to the Breakfast Club shop? Because you're particularly looking for those more high-ticket items to encourage them to come back every month to save up. We've currently got one train set in there. When that goes, the rest are going to have a riot, but that's how it goes, people. Right, that's our one. The next and possibly one of the most important notices is that the church meeting is now not happening tonight. So if you were planning that, you've now got a free evening. But you have got to put in your diaries, the church meeting is now on the 19th of October. No, it's not, the 12th. Just checking. It's the 12th. See, you all remember that now, the 12th of October. It'll be here in the evening at 6:30. Everything else is the same apart from the date. The other notice is that we now have these magazines in, which is Voice for the Persecuted Christians. If you take those and read those, they are in the foyer vestibule on the way out. And finally, some of you will have learned in the week the sad news that Audrey Smith passed away this week. Audrey Smith has been a stalwart of this congregation for many years, along with her husband Roger, who passed away a few years ago. So we give thanks to God for Audrey's life. And it's her funeral on the 10th of October and Thanksgiving service. The funeral will be held at 10:45 at North Road Crematorium in Bedford. And then there'll be a Thanksgiving service here at 12:30 on the 10th of October. So that's 12:30 on the 10th of October. And there'll be refreshments after that in the back hall. So everyone's welcome to attend both of those services or either of those services. But for catering purposes, it'd be really helpful to the family to have a sort of rough idea if you're going to be there of who's coming. So they've actually got enough sandwiches and cakes or whatever. Please let Chris or Bob Fennell know if you're going to be able to go on that day. And please also let them know if you're able to make a cake for the refreshment. So let's speak to Chris and Bob about that. Have I missed any notices? That's amazing. Right, okay. So in a little while, the children are going to go out to their activities. And this morning, they are learning about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. Which is brilliant, isn't it? They're going out to learn about how God knows them, how God loves them, how God cares about them. So we're going to sing a song that picks up on those themes before they leave us. And that's, have you ever wondered how the God who made the universe still has time for tiny little me? We want every single one of our children to know that they matter to God. He sees them, he cares about them, he's got time for them. Let's give that a go. Stand if you're able.
Have you ever wondered how the God who made the universe and all the plants and creatures that you have ever seen, the planets, stars, the moon and sun, is watching over everyone and still has time for tiny little?
God, we thank you that in this church we are blessed with so many children and young people who come and see this as their home church. And we pray, Lord, for them now as they go out, and their leaders too. Lord God, would you bless them? Lord God, would you speak into their lives? And would each one know that you have time for them, that they matter to you, that they are valued by you, and they are loved by you. Thank you, God, for your big heart for each one of us. Amen. So, children, off you go. Have a good time. Okay, so we've been in our worship this morning, we've been declaring that God is great and that God is able and that God can do all things. And that's amazing. But the other amazing thing is that God wants to partner with each of us in what he's doing through prayer. He can do everything, but he wants us to pray into what is happening. He wants us to pray into the things that he's doing. So we're going to spend some time now praying for the things. I'm taking for the things that happen in this church, what the church is doing to make God known in this town. There's lots going on in the life of our church. And there's a song at the moment that some of you might have heard of that goes on the lines, if you're not in it, we don't want it. Oh God, would you move? And we need God to be in everything that we're doing, because if he's not in it, no point in us doing it in the first place. We need to spend some time praying into these things. Now hopefully you can see that, it's a bit small. That's our notice sheet. What I want you to do is pick out one or two things that are happening in our church week by week or this week to pray for. Let's read them out, because I really can't read that, can you, at the back? It's a bit like the opticians, isn't it? So we've got Mondays, craft group, ukulele group, men shared. Wednesdays, food bank sorting, Ivel bereavement, men shared, afternoons fellowship. Thursdays, community coffee morning, gut busters. Fridays, cap course and food bank. Saturdays, men's shared. Sundays, space to pray, morning worship. Next Sunday's international meal and the communion service. Then we've got for children, for babies and toddlers, we've got early years cafe, pals, Bible study group, the baby group, the mum's group. We've got for young people, we've got the lounge, the youth cafe, the youth cell. We've got the food bank collection times. Oh, thank you very much. Amazing. So much to do. And that isn't even including the small groups that have recently started up. So there's lots of things there, lots of ways we are out in the community and we want to make a difference to that. If God is in it, we want him to move and want to see things happen. So I encourage you, just pick one or two in your mind or spend some time in silence praying for those. If you really want to pray out loud for one of them, by all means do, but please don't just sit there waiting for someone else to pray. Pray your own prayer in your heart. God can hear us all at the same time. And let's bring some of those things to God for the week coming up ahead. Father God, this week I want to pray particularly for the community coffee morning that I believe has just started up as a new activity in the church. I pray for all those involved in running that. Give them a heart for those people. Give them inspiration how to use that time to bless our community. And I pray for each person coming that they would sense your presence in that place. They would know that they're loved and valued by you and you would start your work in their lives, Lord God. I pray too, Lord, for the youth activities meeting in the middle of the week, and we thank you for our young people as they're going through that tricky age, Lord, that God, you would meet with them, that they would sense you holding them, sense you with them, and in those times together, you'd build their community and lead them closer to you, Father God. Amen. And now I want you to just open your eyes and have a look around the people sitting near you. And think of one or two people that you would like to pray for now. You might know them really well. You might know what's happening in their lives. You might know nothing about them. But just spend a couple of moments bringing those people to God, asking God to bless them, asking God to be with them, asking God to, equip them for the week ahead. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for each and every person here today. Thank you, God, that you know our thoughts, our hearts, our needs. You know what's going on in our lives. Thank you, God, that you care about each one of us individually. And I pray, Lord, for each person here that they would know that. We would know that in our hearts as truth. As we go into this coming week, Lord God, we would know you going ahead of us, you equipping us, and you being with us. Amen. And finally, I want to pray for our students who have recently gone back to university, and particularly those who have gone for the first time. Lord God, I pray, particularly for those who are going away for the first time, Lord, would you be with them right now in the churches that they're going to, that they would know that even though they're not here in their familiar setting, you are the same God and you are with them. And would you bless them, Lord God? And for those who've gone back for the second or third or however many years it is, Lord, I pray that they'd have a term of knowing you walking with them, knowing your equipping, and as they learn more things for their courses, Lord, they would learn more of you and your faithfulness, and you would take each one of them deeper with you in this coming year. Amen. Okay, so Irene's going to come and do the reading for us. And after that, Martin's going to come and speak to us.
Okay.
Just hold it there. Should put his arms on.
Okay. I'm reading from 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 10, and then 17 to 19. So if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kind of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Thank you, Irene, and thank you, Helen, for leading us this morning. I do have a notice before I start. Just thought it might be easier to bring it now, and that is that our next set of baptismal classes start tomorrow. Okay, Lizzie's coming. If you want to find out about baptism or you feel that God's calling you to be baptised, there's no strings attached. Come along tomorrow here at 6 o'clock in the evening. We'll spend about an hour going through some stuff for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then we'll decide whether or not to go ahead with a baptismal service after that. So if you're interested, come along tomorrow into this building, this room, at 6 p.m. Right, where are we? Here we go. I'm going to start with a little competition this morning. About how many songs can we think of with either the word money in them or that are about money? In fact, don't worry, we won't do that because I've done the hard work for you. well, you could look a bit more grateful. And when I say I've done the hard work for you, I asked Siri. Whether you ask whatever the Android one is and it comes up with something different, I don't know. But Siri reckons in the modern era there are at least 50 songs, I could probably think of lots more than that, that are about money. Books have been written on the subject. Films are based around getting it too. It's a big topic in our culture. Here is a little quick quiz, actually. Yes, we will do this one. Can you tell me where these songs come from? Money makes the world go round. Is it Fiddler on the Roof? I thought it was Cabaret. Cabaret, yeah. Good guess, well done, thank you. What were you going to say, Karen? Cabaret, yeah. Karen being our theatre expert, of course. Yes. Thank you so much. Money talks, but it don't sing and dance, and it can't walk.
Neil Diamond.
Title of the song? Forever in Blue Jeans. Well done. Yeah. Not directly about money to start with. You think it's a song about blue jeans, but there you go. Money talks, but it can't sing, and it can't dance, and it can't walk. Money, money, money. Well done. And what's the title of the song? Money Can't Buy Me Love.
Beatles.
Yeah. And lots of other songs. One of the ones that I remember when I was growing up, which was quite in your face, was Money, That's What I Want. It had that really sort of da-da-da-da bit in it. Good tune. Not sure about the point of the words. But anyway, the point being, we are surrounded by stuff that talks to us about money, that encourages us to collect money and encourages us to hoard money. It tells us that if we want to make something in life, we need to have lots of money. If we don't have much of it, we dream of getting more of it. And if we do have a lot of it, guess what? We dream of getting more of it. Now, money in itself is not a bad thing. We need money, don't we? We need it to buy food, clothes, pay for our homes, our heating, and so on. And in this short series we've been doing, we've already heard Jesus warn us that we cannot love God and love money. And today in these few verses, Paul addresses that issue again to the believers in Ephesus and through them to us as he teaches more about the way we're to live when God is number one in our lives, and we seek to worship him in everything we are, we say, and we do. And of course, that includes worshiping God with our money. But at the same time in this passage, Paul is warning believers about false teachers. I couldn't actually find a particular picture of a very false-looking teacher, so I just thought, she looks a bit weird, so we'll just... Just now, really, if you were all good Christians, when I mention the words false teachers, you should go boo. A bit like at a pantomime, you know, because false teachers are the baddies, aren't they? They preach a gospel where Jesus isn't enough. They preach a gospel that says you need something extra. And often they will preach that you will need Jesus plus money to be content, to be happy with your life. And Paul was particularly vexed by these false teachers because they were trying to make a profit out of the churches that they were spreading their false teaching in. I can't think of a modern example particularly, but I know if you just donate $10 to my bank account, God will bless you. Sorry, I don't take dollars, £10. To my bank account. Details available afterwards. And God will bless you. You know, the Lord has laid it on my heart. I really need a private jet to get to Peterborough and Coventry in London. It's such a hardship. So yeah, if you'd like to support my ministry in that way, just pledge $10 and in return, God will bless you. That sort of thing. Paul says, anyone who teaches like this and with this motivation... He doesn't pull his punches, does he? I mean, this. He says, they're conceited. They understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men, you could put people there, of corrupt minds, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Come on, Paul, tell us how you really feel. Good grief, that's an awful lot of negative stuff in there. There's a lot about possibly even immaturity and lack of understanding. I remember when I was a youngster, sort of about 8 or 9 or so, we had a maiden aunt living with us. Anyone else ever had a maiden aunt living with them? It was my dad's aunt, so it was a maiden great aunt. And one of my joys in life at that time was getting her to have an argument with me about something. I just like to wind her up a little bit. Not the most mature thing. And yes, I know sometimes I still do it today. I can feel the eyes from the back of the room. But if we come into a church, all we're concerned about is creating a controversy, an argument, making money out of people, all that sort of stuff. This is what we're like, says Paul. Interestingly enough, in Philippians 1, Paul says it doesn't matter what motivates people to preach. He says the important thing in every way, whether from false motives or true, is that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. So we go, inconsistency in the Bible. I knew it. I found it at last. Paul says one thing here and one thing there. I'm so sorry, it's not an inconsistency. Because you need to look at the context. You need to look at the wider picture. And Paul is condemning people who are bringing false teaching to people who are already Christians, trying to lead them away from Jesus. And the ones that he commends, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And if Christ is being preached and it's the proper gospel, that's something to rejoice in. So there's no inconsistency there. Paul is saying it's great that Christ is preached, but it's not good if someone starts to bring these things into the life of the church. And it's not good if someone has that particular purpose of trying to con believers out of their hard-earned money. So it will come as no surprise at all that if we encounter a false teacher, we're to tell them to stop what they're doing and very politely to go somewhere else, because it is not good for the life of the church. We're to avoid people who take the gospel message and distort it to suit their own agenda. And history is full of examples of that as well. When I was at university, my first degree, I was studying ancient and medieval history. And that covered the Crusades. And one of the things I discovered about the Crusades is that after the First Crusade, which was definitely about trying to win Jerusalem back from the Muslim invaders, all the other Crusades were dressed up with this holy encouragement, but most of the time, the people who signed up for the Crusades, certainly the lords and the knights and so on, they were doing it to try and get profit for themselves, to get lands for themselves, because they were often the second sons of the nobility. And as our very own dear Prince Harry has shown, it's not much fun being the second son if there's a son and heir above. Because the son and heir inherits everything, the second son has to go and find stuff out for himself. And so the second sons of the nobility thought, I know, I'll make sure people think that I'm holy and pious and good, and I'll sign up for a crusade. And if I manage to capture a little town for myself out there to become my little fiefdom, all the better. What about a couple of weeks ago, the Unite the Kingdom march in London? There weren't just flags flying, were there? There were crosses being carried. People trying to use the Christian gospel as a way to support whatever that march was about. And there was a lot of negative in that march, as we know. So people, again, trying to dress up something with religious clothing to try and make it seem respectable. In other countries, nationalism gets clothed in Christianese. It's God's will that I rule this country. Nazi Germany, the soldiers on their belts had Gott mit uns, one of the most ungodly regimes of the last century. So that it's very clear that there are false teachers all over the place, even today, who take a bit of the Christian gospel, and it's very clever, they take a bit that is true, and then they embellish it to make it suit their own agenda. Now, that's not right, that's not ready yet. I do try not to regularly quote Tom Wright, but I failed again, because he is so perceptive, and he is so wise, and he is so helpful. And he says that our current society lives in an age of chasing wealth. That's actually money flying away, and he's trying to catch it, just in case you can't see clearly. I looked at that and thought, what did I put that picture up there for? I can't remember what it was. Lives in an age of chasing wealth, however we can, of making money our prime focus and our main goal. Again, we see it in excessive pay demands from unions, from already rich people exploiting others or their positions to make themselves money. We hear it from prosperity preachers in the church. Wright goes as far to say that this passage is an indictment of modern Western culture. So Paul's been quite harsh already, and now Tom Wright's being quite harsh as well. And I guess by association, because I'm agreeing with what Tom Wright is saying, so am I. It's an indictment of modern Western culture. If we want to be content in life, we're told, we need money, and lots of it. But then comes the question, how much is enough? How much money is enough? You might have heard of a chap called J.D. Rockefeller. Very rich American gentleman. One of the richest men of his time. He was asked this question. You know, so kind of like lines of, J.D., you've got loads of money. How much is enough? And he said this. He said, just a little bit more than I have. Just a little bit more than I have. So it's never enough. It doesn't give you contentment. It doesn't give you peace of mind, because you always want more. It's like a drug. And if money becomes your master, it has you in a trap and it distorts life, because you're always chasing just that little bit more than you have. In effect, our world is peddling a lie that if we follow it, we end up in trouble. And that's the world we live in. It's possibly the life that some of us live or have been living. It certainly seems to have been happening in Timothy's church, otherwise Paul wouldn't be writing about this to them. I've said it before, but so often people will say, well, I wish the church was more like the New Testament church. Really? You do realise that all the letters of Paul to the churches were written because there were big problems in the churches, and he was trying to sort them out. So yes, you've got all the exciting stuff going on, but you've also got arguments, you've got division, you've got false teachers, you've got people being martyred for their faith, and all that sort of stuff. It's all there together. It's one big bundle. Certainly wasn't boring, but be careful what we ask for. So what's the antidote to all this? How can we avoid falling into the trap of the false teachers, or even becoming a false teacher? How can we avoid chasing after the lie that is money makes everything all right? And remember, I did say there's nothing wrong with money on its own. It's when it becomes our master, our obsession, our idol, just like any other thing that draws us away from God. How's about this? And it's one of those church questions when the answer is Jesus. Make sure that our priority, our goal, our focus on life is on Jesus. Remember what Paul said? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Say that to a modern audience and see what response you get. Oh, I just did. And look at all those blank faces. Normally, we only hear those words at a funeral. We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've done a few over the years. But they're not just words for a funeral. They're words for living a godly life, because the more we focus on Jesus, the more content we become, knowing that all we need can be found in our relationship with him. And here's the main problem. Our world encourages us to want stuff that we don't need. God's word says that we have all that we need in and through Jesus Christ. And actually, all that we need are clothes to wear, food to eat, and somewhere warm and dry to lay our head. Anything else is an extra. And the problem is, if we chase after the extras, they push the essentials out. Matthew chapter 6, mentioned it last week. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. If you chase after all these things, you'll always want more. You'll always want extra. You'll never be contented. You'll always be agitated. You'll always, the more stuff you get, you know what happens? Is the more complicated alarm system you have to put on your house. And the more stress you get, because every time you go out of the house, now, did I put the alarm on or not? Bad enough at the moment with me, I go out of the house, did I lock the door? Every time we go away, Ali will tell you without fail, I sit in the car, I turn the engine on, I'll turn to her and go, did I lock the door? I won't tell you what her reply is. But so the thought of having all this stuff that has to be protected by an alarm system, which is yet another number to remember. I mean, how many numbers do we have to remember? You know, or we have to buy bigger barns to put our stuff in. And Jesus tells a story about a man who built bigger barns to put all his stuff in. He died, and all his stuff got left behind in his big barns, and he had none of them. Because we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. At the end of the day, whether you're an emperor or a king or a president or a pauper, we all go out the same way. Can't take anything with us. Yet we spend so much time chasing it during our lives, because that's what society tells us to do. But when we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, we find that we have everything that we need. Don't think this is just a quick way, this is a loophole. Oh, great, so if I seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, I can still get all that good stuff as well. That's not what this is saying. It's seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You'll store up treasures in heaven, we looked at a few weeks ago, and all the things that we need will be given to us. Or Paul in Colossians, who says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The more we focus on earthly things, the more we're going to want them, the more we'll be dissatisfied. That's why false teachers are so popular, because they speak to what they know is in our human nature. But the more we focus on Jesus, the more we think about Jesus, the more we meditate on Jesus, the more we look to Jesus, who he is, what he's done, where he is now, and what he promises, if we make that our focus, the more we realize that we have all that we need, and we discover that we are combining godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Because we discover we don't need those other things that the world tells us we need. And it all comes back again to where is our focus? Where are our eyes directed? Another quote from Tom Wright. I'm really sorry. Not sorry. Wright says that we are to run away from, and I quote, the greedy, jealous lifestyle of those who want to be rich. Keeping up with the Joneses used to be a phrase, didn't it? Yeah? Don't think it ever did anybody that much good, to be honest. So he says, run away from those things. He says, run towards Jesus and his ways of justice, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That is a life of godliness that leads to contentment. These are often things that we can't see and we can't touch, which is a problem for us because we like to see things and touch things. That's why we like magpies. System overload. That's why we like magpies, and we see a shiny thing and we chase after it. That's why that story of the little boy who was scared one night and his mum said, "Then you go to sleep, it's all right, Jesus is with you." And he said, "Yeah, but I want someone with skin on in the room with me." We are focused that way. It's hard work for us to look up to see where Christ is, but that's what we're called to do. So that's a challenge for us. And then there's still a bit of an elephant in the room, which is, what about those who are rich already? That's what Paul addresses in verses 17 to 19. Now, again, context is really important. In global terms, everybody sitting in this room is rich. In global terms. In local terms, not everybody sitting in this room is rich. But some are. Again, Paul is not saying wealth is wrong. But what he is saying is that chasing after it and building your life around it, loving it, is, and here's that misquote that people often get, this quote that people often get wrong, the love of money is a root of all evil. A root, one root. There are other roots of evil that are summed up in idolatry and sinfulness. So if you're a Christian and you have wealth, here's what the Bible says to do. Make money your servant. Don't let it become your master. Make money your servant. Use your money to bless others, particularly those that you know in your Christian family and wider community who don't have much money. Use your money not just to bless others, but to build God's kingdom. Don't lord it over others who have less than you, but recognize it as a gift from God who is entrusting you to do good with it. What Paul says is this. He says, do good. Be rich in good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. That may not have come out as clearly as I'd hoped, but there's lots of words about generosity and sharing up there. Do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. If God has blessed you with a healthy bank balance, recognize that, give him thanks and ask him how he wants you to use it. Because with all the gifts that God gives us, this one is also given not to keep to ourselves. It's to be shared with those in need, to be contributing to the work and the upkeep of the church, funding mission at home and around the world. Give to others and to the Lord as he's given to us. How does he give to us? Freely, cheerfully, unconditionally, with thanksgiving. And if you want to see a bit more detail about that, go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, where it talks about the church meeting together every day, sharing everything and giving to those who had need as and when they had need. If we have a brother or sister in our church family who we know is in need and we have the resources to help, whether that's financial or something else, Paul says, here's your opportunity. Give them a helping hand. So beware the false teaching which pulls us away from Christ, which wraps up selfishness and greed in godly language, and hold on to the true teaching which comes from Christ and points to Christ, leading us deeper into relationship with him and with other believers, strengthening the church, promoting godliness with contentment, no matter what our actual financial situation is. The true gospel is simple. Jesus is enough. Don't need anything else for salvation. Don't need anything else for contentment. Don't need anything else for purpose in life, meaning in life, or hope for the future. Jesus is all that we need. We receive all that we need for this life and the next in and through him. So let's put him first. Seek first his kingdom and know the true contentment that comes from godliness and not from chasing money. The challenge is to remember this on a Monday morning, and then to remember it at Monday lunchtime, then to remember it Monday evening, and then Tuesday morning, lunchtime and evening, and so on. Because we get so many messages bombarding us about not looking to Jesus. But we do have a secret weapon. We have the Holy Spirit, who, if we are open to him, will whisper to us and remind us where we should be looking. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for giving us what we need. And we thank you that all that we need we find in Jesus. Lord, you know what we need in our part of the world where you have called us to live. And we trust you to provide what we need. But we ask that you'd help us not to chase after the lie that we need more money, more stuff, more power to be contented. Help us to be grateful for what you've given us. And if you've given us a lot, help us to look for ways to share it with those who have less. Help us to choose to use our money for your glory. Help us to choose to use our resources, wider resources, for your glory. Holy Spirit, would you show us what that looks like in our personal lives, but also in our corporate life as Biggleswade Baptist Church? And when our eyes are tempted by shiny things on the telly or in the newspaper or on the poster board or on the side of the bus or wherever it might be, help us to remember those words from Colossians that call us to look at things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Or as Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that we can run the race before us and gain the glorious crown that you promise for those who follow you. Lord, this is a hard teaching for some of us. It requires thought. Please help us not to shy away from it, but help us to engage with you, because you are the one we want to honour and glorify. You are the one we want to see. You are the one we want to please. And you are the one in whom we find all that we need. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we close, same thing I say every week, really. If God has spoken to you this morning, you'd like to talk a bit more about it, come and see me or one of the leadership team or someone who's been up the front this morning. If you'd like to get prayer for anything that's been said this morning or anything else, the prayer team will be down here in the corner. Or there's always the option, if you know that you're with a Christian brother or sister, turn to them and ask them to pray with you or for you. But if God has spoken, and I believe he has, then please don't leave here without doing something about it. Just need to give me 10 seconds to get over here. Oh, yep.
As we go into this week, would you be our vision? Would you be the one that we are looking to, the one that is our everything? Lord God, give us more of you and less of ourselves. Help us to pursue you this week, we pray. Amen.